The point about the Cro-Magnons is that they exploited all these food resources with great efficiency, to the point that many bands lived almost permanently in one place, moving out when there were migrations, but always coming back to the same bases, many of them large caves and rock shelters, using open camps in the summer. A far greater versatility of human settlement. And of course, they were perfectly capable of living out in open camps year-round. Most rock shelters in sheltered valleys were close to large streams or fords where reindeer crossed rivers or salmon ran. As much as possible, they settled in south-facing caves. Why? So they can get the full warmth of the winter sun. This was a much more complicated existence. The seasons passed, and there were events each season. The highlight of the Cro-Magnon year was the summer, probably when neighboring groups came together to specific locations where game like reindeer or salmon were abundant for a few weeks at a time. This was when the harvest took place. This was the time when marriages were arranged, initiation ceremonies were performed, and other highly intense rituals unfolded, where group shamans, and we'll talk about shamans next time, told tales and wove spells when the ancestors and the forces of the spiritual world were invoked to ensure the continuity of life. For the first time, we see the spiritual and symbolic realm impinging on human existence, threatening, offering precedent, bringing people together, giving them a worldview and an identity, something mentally that humans apparently have not had before. These seasonal gatherings were also times when people traded, men and women traded artifacts, raw materials, ornaments from afar. Cro-Magnon sites in southwestern France contain such exotica as seashells from the northwest Atlantic coast and the Mediterranean, even shiny amber from northern Europe, which had modern quality, magic qualities when rubbed. Many of these objects may have fostered gestures of social obligation between individuals and groups. Many Cro-Magnon groups seem to have lived closer to their neighbors than ever before. This was a society where social elaboration, where relationships between people, where symbolic acts were of immense importance, both with kin and with more distant neighbors. Shamans, people who understood and interpreted the spiritual world, were much more important than ever before. The climax of the Cro-Magnons came with the Magdalenian culture of southwestern France, which flourished about 15,000 years ago, the bracket maybe 18 to 12, we're not quite sure. It's named after a rock shelter called La Madeleine in France's Vézère Valley. And in this you see the full efflorescence of the magnificent engraving and painting achieved by the Magdalenians, a society adapted to extreme cold, which was about to be exposed to a far warmer and climatically rapidly changing world. The Magdalenian, 15,000 years ago, was the climax of tens of thousands of years of brilliant adaptation by modern humans to an extremely demanding and ever-changing Arctic environment. These people were the epitome of Ice Age humans. In this lecture, we've described the spread of modern humans into Europe and then the distinctive and increasingly elaborate lifeway developed by the Cro-Magnons. We've described how new antler and bone technology allowed the development of highly specialized toolkits, also of tailored clothing. We've also talked a little bit about the dynamics of Cro-Magnon society, which was far more elaborate than that of the Neanderthals. From here, we need to explore the society in a little more depth. We need to look at this interface between the living and spiritual worlds, at the ceremonies and what we know about them, and about the first art known in the world, which illuminates this world like a searchlight. And then in the second half of the next lecture, we'll go east into Eurasia and deep into Siberia.